Hello there, and welcome to the second episode of the My Muddlings podcast. I'm your host, Julianne, and I'm so glad you could join me today. I'm recording on Wednesday, 5th of November, 2014. Today's segments will include musings, sewing adventures, cross-stitch creations, and knitting segments will include on the needles and off the needles. I'll then end with my gratitude diary. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank those of you who have stopped in and joined the My Muddlings Ravelry group. It's really great to see that I'm not talking to the ether, and welcome. After a bit of a delay, the podcast is now available to be searched on the iTunes store. So far, I've only been able to find it by searching My Muddlings exactly, but I have been fiddling with the title and the podcast tag, so hopefully it'll be easier to search for in the future with different search terms. I've also added a button to the sidebar of the show notes page so you can easily subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. All right, so let's get started. Musings is a new segment that I will use to talk to you about how I craft and the materials, tools, and techniques that I use. Sometimes I might talk about a crafty adventure that I've had, or even just something I've done recently that was fun, or another subject that has captured my attention. Today, I'd like to talk about how I knit. Now, I know every knitter has their own way of knitting, and oftentimes this includes a mixture and a mashup of various techniques. So I always find it really interesting to learn how others knit, and I thought it might be a good subject to talk about. Usually, when people think of knitting, they think of the two most prevalent types, and that's the English knitting, where you hold the yarn in your right hand and you throw the yarn over the needles to make a stitch, and continental, which is where the working yarn is in your left hand and is picked over the needles to create a stitch. I myself am only familiar with one other knitting technique, and that is the Portuguese knitting style. And this is where the working yarn is held around the neck or with a special lapel pin up on the left shoulder, and it's tensioned between the fingers of the right hand, and then the thumb of the left hand is used to lift the working yarn over the needle to make a stitch. I use a combination of English and Portuguese knitting. When I was learning, I solely used the English knitting style, but after knitting for a while, my right wrist was beginning to hurt quite a bit, and it wasn't just when I was knitting, it was all the time. And I was doing some sewing and I couldn't even iron what I was sewing because there was so much pain putting the pressure on my wrist. At one point last year, I was actually unable to knit for about 2 weeks simply because it was too painful in that wrist, and I just had to rest it for that time to kind of get it over that. This is when a good friend of mine, she introduced me to Portuguese knitting, as it's how she knits. She told me how she had learned to knit that way, as it reduced fatigue in her hands and wrists, and she could knit for longer stints than with other knitting styles. For people who don't like to purl, I find that the Portuguese method actually makes it a lot easier to execute the stitch. I personally don't have any issues with purling English style, but I do find it easier with the Portuguese because you don't actually have to remove your hands from the needles to move the yarn. Obviously, if you knit continental style, you don't take your hands off anyway, but as I'm an English knitter, it's, you know, you always have to drop that right-hand needle to move the yarn across. And when my friend uses Portuguese knitting for both her knit and purl rows, I knit English style and I purl Portuguese style. So the reason I swap between the knit and the purl rows is twofold. Firstly, I do it because it gives my hands a change of position and movement every row, and I find that this prevents fatigue and repetitive strain injuries. And second, I find it hard to maintain tension on the knit rows of Portuguese style. I always tighten up on the knit rows, but my purl rows in Portuguese maintain a nice even tension. It is a bit of a pain to keep moving the working yarn because I don't have the lapel pin, so I do. I keep the yarn around my neck, and it's a bit of a pain to take it on and off, but you know, it works for me and it does help me to produce a nice even fabric, and I have, you know, little to no fatigue depending on how long I knit for. And the RSI in my wrist doesn't occur very often at all anymore. Of course, if I'm knitting in the round, I do stick to English style because it's just the knitting, knit stitch. I just have to take more frequent breaks or I swap projects between in the round and knitted flat just to give my hands a bit of a break. I've attempted to learn continental, but my hands just can't seem to work it out. I'm right-handed and most of the time my left hand is pretty much useless and uncoordinated, so, you know, that could have something to do with it. I'm sure if I practice more and more and more at it, I could probably do it, but, you know, being a project knitter, I just prefer to knit a way I know how to knit and get my final product. If you're interested in learning the Portuguese style or at least just to see how it works, I've put a link in the show notes and it's to some YouTube videos that I actually use to learn the method. And I'd love to hear how you knit. So if you'd like to share, please head on over to the Ravelry group in the episode 2 thread or in the comments section of the show notes page and let me know how you knit. Okay, let's get on to sewing adventures. So today for sewing adventures, I have a couple of things to talk about. Firstly, I'm nearly finished sewing a dress. It's the Colette Dahlia dress, and it was only just released a couple of weeks ago, so it's their very new pattern. I apologise if I'm saying Dahlia wrong, because I've heard it both ways as Dahlia or Dahlia. Hopefully it's not offensive to the way that you say it. And I don't make you twitch every time I say it wrong. Anyway, this dress, it's a very flattering design. And as soon as I saw it, I just went, I have to make this dress. And it comes with two versions. Version one has 3/4 raglan sleeves. It's got a flat front skirt with two little points of gathers just to shape it. And it's got a kick pleat in the back. Now, I've never sewn a kick pleat, so that'll be interesting when I get to that version. Version 2 is sleeveless, and it's got a 6-paneled skirt and has straps made of bias binding, so there's no sleeves. I'm making version 2, and I've just cut a straight size 16, having tried it on, it seems to fit really well, so I'm really happy with the fit. I'm using a 100% rayon print that I picked up at Spotlight, and that was bought with some money that I was given for my birthday, so that was from my mother-in-law, so I can thank my mother-in-law for the fabric for a new dress. I've finished most of the construction, and all I have left is to install the zipper and apply the bias binding for the edging and the straps and hem the skirt, so I'm right at that final point. The pattern calls for an invisible zipper, but I don't have the correct foot for my machine, and I have had a bit of a search, but I've seen invisible zip feet, but none that say that they fit my very basic Elna. So, I mean, I don't know whether the feet are all the same or not, but I've just not seen one that fits my particular machine. I don't really trust invisible zippers either, as they always seem to break on me, and kind of once your zipper is broken, it's a lot of work to change it out, and I'm into making new things. I'm not really into repairing things. So once your zipper kind of breaks, it's kind of over for me. It's that garment is gone. So I'm just using a standard dress zipper on this one, but I will install it so that the fabric kind of covers up the actual zip itself. I'm looking forward to having this one done. And pretty soon, hopefully, as the weather is really starting to heat up here. Although I'm sitting here today in an alpaca pullover because it's a bit cool. It's definitely warming up here in Australia and it'll be dress weather really soon. I've also been doing some dabbling in some new bag sewing designs to include in my Etsy store. I made a simple zippered box bottom toiletry bag, or I guess it could be used as a sewing or a knitting notion bag. I just made it out of some quilting cotton with some Pellon interfacing, so it's nice and stiff, and it turned out really quite nicely. The zip installed very well, and it looks, it looks very nice, and I'm really happy with it. I also made another box bottom bag, which I still need to finish, and it could be used to store bits and pieces in your sewing room or your craft area, or put, the skeins of yarn that you're going to be knitting from into it. I made it from an upholstery weight fabric shell, so it's nice and rugged, I guess, and I've put the Pellon interfacing in it as well, so it stands upright. And I thought I'd include some handles, and I popped in a magnetic snap so the bag can be closed at the top and carried around. So if you want to move your project from place to place, or you need to move your notions from one room to the other, because I do have my overlocker and my sewing machine split, so if I need to move from one machine to the other in a different room, I could just pick up my stuff in the bag and take it through. So if you're interested in having a look at any of those things, I've included pictures of the dress and the bags in the show notes. Okay, cross-stitch creations. True to my word, I've hopped back into the cross-stitch world and I'm really loving it. I downloaded a pattern from Etsy and it's called the Kawaii Thread and Pincushion Pattern. And that's from a store called Wee Little Stitches. The pattern was very straightforward. The chart was very clear and it only took 2 nights for me to complete all of the crosses of the design. I finished up the thread tracing last night, but having just looked up the pattern to put the link in the show notes, I've noticed that I missed a pin on mine. So I guess I'll have to go back and put it in or not, depending on how lazy I'm feeling. Usually once I consider something done, I don't really want to go back and add more to it, but I might do sometime in the future. I've popped a link to the pattern and to Wee Little Stitches store and a picture of my final, or almost final, cross stitch in the show notes. Okay, let's go to the knitting segment. We'll start with On the Needles. And pretty much I have exactly the same projects on the needles as last time. My sister's birthday was last Friday and I wrapped her cardigan with the ball of yarn still attached. And this is because obviously I couldn't get it done in time. And this was the rust and stone cardigan that I was knitting out of Bendigo Woolen Mills Athena. I was able to complete the body and I made a start on the first sleeve by last Friday. And as I said in the last podcast, I've modded the body so that it's just ribbing all the way around and I haven't done those longer sort of flappy fronts, as she didn't really want those. I've since worked a little bit more on the sleeve, but I haven't worked too much on it as I've been working on my mum's blue sand cardigan. Her birthday is next Friday and I'm getting heavy pressure from mum to have it finished by then, though unfortunately I think she may also get a cardigan with a ball of yarn still attached. I'm knitting this one out of Bendigo Woolen Mills Luxury 8-ply yarn and I've completed to just over 3 inches, I think, down from the armhole. I'm getting pretty close to the next colour change. And I'm really enjoying working with this yarn, as it's really lovely. It feels really lovely. And although I love the pattern too, I am beginning to get a little bit overwhelmed with just the sheer size of this cardigan. I kind of feel like I'm never going to get it done, especially with the cross stitch stealing my attention. And my mum won't be happy to hear that. But I will get there eventually. She will get her cardigan. I just can't guarantee how soon that will be. The only other thing that I've been knitting on in the last 2 weeks, apart from what I'm going to tell you about in Off the Needles, is a pair of socks for my sister. These are being knit out of, again, surprise, surprise, Bendigo Woolen Mills, and it's their sock yarn, and it's in a pink, yellow, orange, and white self-striping patterning yarn. They're just a vanilla sock, and I use Susan B. Anderson's How I Make My Socks pattern for all of my vanilla socks. And although I call it it is called a pattern, it's more of a recipe, and Susan shared it on her blog. So, as I said, I use this recipe for all of my vanilla socks, and I knit them on a 2.5mm needle. I believe Susan calls for a 2.25, but I find that the 2.5mm fits my feet really well. I have quite broad feet, so I need that little bit of extra space. And I do those across 64 stitches. These socks I'm knitting for my sister, they're the same as a pair that I have, and I'll be using the leftovers from both of our pairs to knit my niece a pair, so we'll all be sock buddies when I'm done, and I think that's pretty fun. I think I'll need to just get a little happy snap of all of our feet together with our socks on, I think, when they're all done. Okay, let's get to Off the Needles. And there's just the one thing that I alluded to, and I only started them since the last podcast, so you wouldn't have heard me talk about them. They are the Cadence Socks by Very Busy Monkey. And this pattern was written as a mystery sock back in 2011. And I think they could pretty well be the most beautiful socks I've ever seen. They're a lace design and the lace goes together so that it resembles cables. I probably didn't do them justice with my yarn choice, but they knit up beautifully and they wash really well in the machine. I used Bella Baby Baby Wonder 4-ply acrylic nylon yarn, and it's in a soft grey and it almost looks purple in some lights. You know, a bit like a Weimaraner dog, really. I love them. And it is very soft and pretty, and I don't think I will ever wear them in shoes because I just want to keep looking at them all the time when I'm wearing them because they're just so beautiful. I'd probably be trying to whip my shoes off and show everybody and be able to get a nice eyeful myself. For these, I used about 307 yards, which is about 281 meters of yarn, and I knit them on the size 2.5 needle. These only took me a week to knit, and that's pretty quick, I suppose, because I just kept saying to myself, just one more pattern repeat, just one more pattern repeat. The pattern was really addictive, and just to see the pattern come together, and I kept putting them over my hand to stretch out the lace. And once I'd finished one of the socks, because I only knit mine one at a time, I kept putting it on my foot and kind of wandering around the house and just admiring my foot. So yeah, they were very fun. Definitely check those out. It's a free pattern and it's a beautiful pattern and very easy to knit. And I think, you know, for non-knitters, they would find it incredibly impressive. So definitely check that out. I'll pop the link in the show notes. And last of all for today, I want to share a new segment I'm calling Gratitude Diary. I always feel better, I find, when I stop to count my blessings and be thankful for the people and things I have in my life. And I don't do it often enough, and I want to start doing it more. And I thought seeing this podcast is going to hopefully be a regular thing, as long as people keep listening, that I would include something that I'm grateful for in every podcast, just so that I can keep reminding myself that things aren't all bad. So today I'd like to talk about how I'm thankful for the experience of knowing my husband's grandma and grandpa. I've never had much contact with any of my own grandparents, as they all lived far away, and so we didn't see them very often. So when I started spending time with my husband's grandparents, I saw kind of what I'd been missing out on, you know. They were two very incredibly warm and welcoming people that just immediately took me into their hearts, and they became my grandparents. Unfortunately, we lost Grandpa about 2.5 years ago and Grandma just last week. I'll be forever thankful that I had them in my life, even if it was only for a short time. They're missed by us all every day. I take comfort in the thought that these two soulmates who were together for 71 years in life are now together again and at peace. I love you, Grandma, Grandpa. So that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me at julianec@mymuddlings.com. So that's JulianEC at mymuddlings.com, or via Ravelry. Just search for my username, Anne of Julie, so AnneOf for Fred, JULIE, or via the My Muddlings podcast group. I am on Instagram, and that's under the username of Anne of Julie, same as my Ravelry name. Show notes can be found at www.mymuddlingspodcast.wordpress.com. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I hope you can join me next time. Bye.